Some Sifrei Ezer for now and perhaps for later, which is a good reference for him, is a nice sefer that came out now by Rav Moshe Klein, I think, called Mishnas Hager, which is a wonderful sefer. Has a lot of contemporary Hilchas Geiros in it. There's an older sefer, which is back in print, called the Geiros Kehilchas, a lot more Bekitzer. That's a lot of the main topics. Not as much Be'iyun as the Mishnah Sager. Mishnah Sager really outdid the Geiros Kehilchos, but it's still a nice sefer. And then there's Menachem Finkelstein's doctoral thesis called Hagiur. If you have a little more money, but it's a little more expensive, like every doctoral thesis. But he did a lot of nice research on different points of interest. It's a very helpful, for if you're interested in those topics, very helpful sefer. So that's it. We're gonna try to go keseder on the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Geirus, and we'll see where we end up. One practical note on Hilchas on Geirus Lamaisa is that if you'd like to really find out what goes on a little more hands on, we actually have in the yeshiva two people really involved in Geirus very practically. Rabbi Zilberman, who runs the Geirus for the RCA, and Rabbi Tzvi Ram, who's very involved in Geirus Lamaisa. He serves as a lot of sponsoring rabbi for many different Geirim. So if you're really interested in the nuts and bolts of what goes on, those are two very important resources that you have here. Okay, but let's start with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Pei Chesiv Beis begins with the Geir who comes before us, the Geirus candidate, Geshabah Geir. When the Geir comes before us, so Ma'aymin Olav, we first try and discourage him from coming to Geirus. So that's the Gemara in Yevamos. So Tosfos explains, why do we discourage him from coming to Geirus? Because Kashim Geirim Yisrael Kesapachas, Geirim are difficult and Klal Yisrael like a blister, which we'll have to explain what that means. But then the Chiddush HaMeiri though suggests a different shot in that Gemara, not because Geirim are difficult for Klal Yisrael and therefore we discourage Geirus, but rather because we're concerned about what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and Sifyut Beis, which is that we don't accept Geirim who are coming for an ulterior motive. The Gemara says in Mishnah really, Maseches Yevamos, that a Megayu Hashem Davar Achar, if a person is converting for an ulterior reason, an ulterior motive, either to get married or because it's beneficial at that point in history to be Jewish, or for whatever ulterior motive they have, but it's not because just solely the kaneis tachas kanfei hashchina, so we don't want such a geirus. We don't really accept such a geirus l'chadchila. B'diyeved, the geirus might be valid, but we would try and discourage such a geir. So therefore, at first, we discourage the geir to find out perhaps if he's coming for geirus for an ulterior motive. The Rav one suggests that perhaps a more homiletic shot, or maybe there's a lot of seriousness to it, but that the Rav once suggested that perhaps the reason why we discourage the Ger from becoming the Geirus is because we say to him, don't you know, that Klal Yisrael nowadays are the Chufim, Schufim, the Turavim, the Yisurim Ba'amaleim. Klal Yisrael has a hard time in this world. Why do you want to come and join Klal Yisrael? That we're not really discouraging him from being a Ger at all. Well, this is the first stage of his Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. It's not only that he accepts the Tayag Mitzvos, but he accepts historically to identify with Klal Yisrael. And when we tell him about all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, what we're really doing is initiating him to what it's like to be a member of Klal Yisrael. And he has to identify with us historically, not only identify with us ideologically. This is an interesting point. If the guy says, if the potential Geirus candidate says, that Yodeani Ve'eni Chedai, he says, I know about all the things that you're telling me, but I'm not worthy of becoming a Geir. So the Malanos Omiyad, once he's made it through our initial process, then we should accept him right away and do Mila right away. And the Gemara, in fact, in Maseches Yevamos says, Shihuya Mitzvah Lo Meshahinan. We try not to delay the process at all. We should do it as quickly as possible. So Rabbi Yosef Engel and his Galyone Ashas, and the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos says, it sounds like there's a mitzvah here to be Megayer the Ger. The Gemara says, Shihuya Mitzvah Lo Meshahinan. And in fact, the Tashbeitz has that comment. The Tashbeitz notes in one of his Shuvahs that there's a mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim. What's the source of the mitzvah? The Tashbeis doesn't say, but he says there is a mitzvah to be Megayer Geirim. So Biruchim Fishel Perlau, in his comments on the Rasag, has a long discussion about this. What, in fact, is the mitzvah to be? It sounds like from the Gemara there is a mitzvah, but what is the source of the mitzvah to be Megayer Geirim? So he quotes from the Tosfos HaRosh, who said that it's based on the pasuk of Vahav Temes Ager. See, Biruchim Fishel Perlau is not impressed with that source. He says, first of all, that's Ahav Asager. What does that have to do with making other Geirim? That's once the guy is converted, and besides which, where do you really see a... You don't really see a mitzvah there to be Megayer Geirim. Other Achronim point to, everyone thinks they discovered this on their own, but by this point it's pretty famous. But the Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh has a comment where the Ravid asked this very question, where is there a mitzvah to be Megayer Geirim? And he's really commenting on the bracha of Geirus that we say. He's discussing the bracha over Tfilas Ger Katan. He said, who makes the bracha when they have Tfilas Ger Katan? So he assumes Beis Din makes the bracha. And he assumes that it's over Lasi Yosef. Mashiach Kedushonim Sosef Etzivanu Al Tfilas Lahat Tfilas Ager. So he says, what's Mashiach Kedushonim Sosef Etzivanu? Where's the mitzvah? So the Ravid says it's based on the pasuk by Avram Avinu ves hanefesh asher asu becharon, that Avram was megayer segerim, besar megayer sesanoshim, that Avram Avinu made gerim, so so too we should make gerim. So Rabbi Ruchem Fishel Perlau also is not impressed with that source. That was kodem matan Torah, and it's not said b'lashon tzivui. Hard to really see a mitzvah there. The main source that everyone really ends up with is the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot. Pretty obvious source. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot in Mitzvot Asei Gimel writes that the way Ahavas Hashem is expressed is Shehei Shem Shamayim Misoev Al Yadecha, that a person who loves something goes to other people and tells them about how much he loves it. And that's what the Rambam describes. A person loves Hashem, he goes to this person and tells them how much he loves Hashem in order to get them to love Hashem too. So too says the Rambam. The Rambam himself says that's why Avram Avinu was Megayer Gerim, because he loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much as an expression of his Avas Hashem. He was Megayer other people. So that's probably the makar for this mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim, is from that pasuk of from that mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Parenthetically, the Ravid there says that there's a mitzvah to be on a tefilas ger katan, which is an important point. And then he says that the bracha is over lasiyasim, is before the tefilah of the ger. Normally, a tefilah bracha on tefilas gerus is only after the tefilah. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that a ger cannot make a bracha over lasiyasim because he's not Jewish before the tefilah. So how can he make a bracha? Only after the tefilah does it be a gavra dain lochazi. He only becomes fit to make a bracha after the gerus. So therefore, we make the bracha after the tefilah. The tefilas nidos patterned after. You make the bracha, at least the minig of Ashkenazim. You make a bracha afterwards. So the ger makes the bracha afterwards. So the Rav held as well, the Rav Shechter quotes this in the Eretz HaTzvi, that even by a tefilas ger katan, you should make the bracha after the gerus. Because the Rav understood it's not a practical matter that the ger is just unfit to make a bracha before the gerus. It's rather because the whole bracha on tefilas gerus is a bracha on the chalos, not on the maisa tefilah. So the chalos gerus is only afterwards. So you make a bracha on the chalos, which is afterwards. Even by ger katan, it should be the same. The Ravid, though, in the Balei Nefesh doesn't say that. The Ravid in the Balei Nefesh says, since it's by a tefilas ger katan, the ger is not the one making the bracha, it's the Beis Din, so they can make the bracha over lasiyasim. They're Jewish now, so let the Beis Din make the bracha over lasiyasim. That's again, that's not what the Rav said. The Rav said even afterwards. The Sri Yesh has an interesting tshuva where the Sri Yesh says a tefilas ger katan. I guess he wasn't aware of this Ravid. So he says the tefilas ger katan, there's no bracha. The ger can't make the bracha, and Beis Din doesn't make a bracha. You know, the only person who makes a bracha on a tefilas gerus is the ger himself, and here the ger is a katan. So you have three shitas. What do we do about a bracha on a tefilas ger katan? The Sri Yesh assume that there's no bracha, but the Ravid writes that the bracha is over lasiyasim because here the person is able to make the bracha before the tefilah, and the Rav assumed that all tefilas gerus is a bracha on the chalois, and therefore would come after the gerus. We're going to discuss over here what are the main elements of gerus, and it already comes up in the Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis, and we have the milah and the tefilah. This is all patterned after, which is really in Yonah D'Yoma, is all patterned after Maimed Har Sinai, where Klal Yisrael had a milah and a tefillah before Maimed Har Sinai. Because it's patterned after Maimed Har Sinai, so the Gemara Maseches Krisa says there's an additional element to Gerus, which does not appear here in the Shulchan Aruch, because it's not Negea Bizmanenu, which is that you need a karbon. Because the Pasuk says, Chukas Olam L'Doraseichem, Kachem Kager Yelofnei Hashem. So this is, it's based, Kachem Kager, just like you people had at Maimed Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael, Mila, and tefillah, and karbon. So too Lidoros, Mavo Secha, Mila, Tvila, Vakarbon, so too Lidoros is Mila, Tvila, and Karbon. What do we do nowadays that we have no Karbonos? Can we still accept Gerim? Maybe we need it. If there's no Karbon, maybe there's no Gerus. So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk Lidoros Sechem that there will always be Gerim, even when Lidoros, even when at a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash. So it must be that the Karbon is not, if there's no ability to bring the Karbon, so the Karbon is not Me'akev in the Gerus. Maybe when you have the ability to bring the carbon is miyakev. But if you don't have the ability to bring the carbon, so the carbon is not miyakev. So that's why it doesn't appear here in the Shulchan Aruch. But one critical element to gerus, when it's possible, is to bring a carbon. Because it's patterned after Maimon Har Sinai. Based on that, the svara of the Gemara, that if it's possible to bring a carbon, the carbon is miyakev. If it's not possible to bring a carbon, the carbon is not miyakev. So the Avnei Nezer tried to explain a psak of Tosis, which is quoted here in Sif Aleph, that if Nichras HaGid, if the Gid has been cut off, there is no Makom HaMila anymore, so then a person can convert even without a Mila. just with tevila alone, kabbalas all mitzvahs. So the pesim. So why? How could you get away? Nichras hagid. How do you get away without mila? Mila is an essential part of geirus. So the Avnei Nezer explained, no, that you see from the karban, even an essential part of geirus, if it's simply impossible to do it, like there's no base on mikdash, it's not miyakev. So it's over here, nichras hagid. It is an essential part of geirus, but you can't do it for practical reasons. So then, okay. So then that is no longer miyakev in the geirus. That's where Tosos got this svara of nichras hagid, that it's not miyakev in the geirus. Avitzel Aponovich suggests in a sefer Zecher Yitzchak, this is all in the binder, suggesting to Sefer Zecher Yitzchak that it could be a hemophiliac as well. There must have been this one hemophiliac that was trying to convert during that period of time, and he went around, because everyone has a tshuva about this. The Sri Yesh has a tshuva about it, the Zecher Yitzchak, and they're referencing each other's arguments. So the Zecher Yitzchak suggests that perhaps the hemophiliac should have the same dispensation. He can't have a mila, so therefore he should be able to convert without it. This radiation, the Achiezer, Chaim Ezer, all disagreed, and they said, no, they're not the same as Nichras Hagid. Nichras Hagid, he doesn't have the Makom Amila anymore. There are no Kavronos anymore. Here, this person has a Makom Amila, it just, he'll have to be Meister Nefesh to convert, so it's not possible, but he has a Makom Amila. It's not the same, it's not the same as the precedent of Nichras Hagid. What's interesting is that the Gemara Maseches Krisus mentions Mavo Sechem b'mila tefila v'karbon, so too l'doro should be mila tefila and karbon. There's no mention of kabbalas ol mitzvahs, which is interesting. There's really four stages of geirus: mila tefila, four parts of the geirus: mila tefila, karbon, and kabbalas ol mitzvahs. It's a question: why didn't the Gemara Maseches Krisus say that? So it could be there's a very good answer to that, which we'll explain hopefully in a few minutes. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis over here discusses, okay, so the Ger, we got by our initial discouragement. We told him, what do you want to be Jewish for? Don't you know about the history of the Jews? Then, but if he says, I know about this, but I'm not Roy. So we do the Mila right away, because Shehuya Mitzvah Lo Mishina. But then right after, before the Mila, when the person makablan oisam miyad, before we do the mila, first we tell Mosi and Modiyam Oso Ikrei Hadas. First we begin to tell him some basic tenets of Yiddishkeit. If he accepts it, we do the mila. Then the mila heals. Then he has to do a tvila. And while he's in the mikvah again, before he's toivel again, we tell him mixus mitzvos chalas, mixus mitzvos chamuros. Again, we tell him some of the mitzvahs, and then he accepts, and then he's toivel, and then he's a ger. But before, there's really two times we tell him about the mitzvahs. Right after he says, after he gets by our initial discouragement, he says, I know, and I wanted to convert anyway. We tell him, Ikrei Adas, V'Yisar Avodas Kochavim. Then he's Mila. Then when he's in the mikvah again, we tell him again, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalas, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamuros. It's interesting over here that we begin by telling him the Yisar Avodas Kochavim. The Aruch Huner asks on that Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, quotes this halacha. To begin by telling him the Yisar Avodas Kochavim, that's the first thing we tell him, but that's one of the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He's obligated in Yisar Avodas Kochavim even when he's not Jewish. You would have thought we talk about something that's like a hallmark of being Jewish. This has to do with just being a good Ben Noach. Why do we start out with the Yisar Avodas Kochavim? So the Aruch Haner explains, and the Chazon Ish goes a little bit further with this, that perhaps we're coming to tell him that there's an Yisar of Shituf now. When he's a Ben Noach, so Shituf might be allowed. Now that he's Jewish, Shituf is not allowed. Chazon Ish suggests that we're telling him a very larger statement, and that is, even the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, he's no longer doing it anymore. As a member of humanity, he's doing them as a member of Klal Yisrael, and there might be many differences because of that. Even those old mitzvahs that he used to do, he's doing them now in a different way, because he's a member of Klal Yisrael. What's interesting is, so we have to tell him about the mitzvahs again right after, before the mila, and then after the mila, while he's in the mikvah, we tell him about the mitzvahs again. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Beis, quotes from the Rambam, that let's say you didn't tell him about any of the mitzvahs. If you don't tell him anything, so the Shulchan Aruch says, then harei ze ger, doesn't make a difference. Im lo bad ko acharav Sif Yud Beis, o shelo hadi uschar mitzvahs va'onshan, we don't tell him anything. Umal v'tovah b'fnei gimel adiotas harei ze ger. And the guy's mal v'tovah in front of a beis is a good gerus. So it sounds like the telling him about the mitzvahs is not miyakev. Perhaps this implies that kabbalas ol mitzvahs is not miyakev. Is that what the Shulchan Aruch means? Maybe that's why it was left out in the Gemara Maseches Krisus. Mila, tefila, karban, those are essential. Kabbalas ol mitzvahs is like you want a mahadrin geirus. Maybe. Shulchan Aruch here says, even if you don't tell him about the mitzvahs, harei ze ger. Maybe kabbalas ol mitzvahs is not miyakev. So the Pisrei Tshuva in Sifkat and Tes, writes Ayin Shuv Eschem D'Shlomo. It's perhaps the most important Mari Makom in all of Hilchas Geirus. And he just writes Ayin Shom. But the Chem D'Shlomo distinguishes a distinction that everybody then nems on to. Reb Chaim Elzer has this in, there's one tshuva in the Achi Yezer that we're going to keep quoting. It's all one tshuva. Chela Gimel, it's in the binder. And there's so much in that one tshuva. But in that one tshuva, Reb Chaim Elzer expands on this, he's sort of the Chem D'Shlomo. Everyone, Moshe has this, the Rav has this also, this distinction of the Chem D'Shlomo. And that is that there's a distinction between Hodos HaMitzvos and Kabbalos HaMitzvos. The formality of telling them about the mitzvos, that's not miyakev. That's what the Shulchan Aruch means in Sif Beis. But of course, you need Kabbalos HaMitzvos. That has to be his motivation for Geirus, is to do mitzvos. It's not to go swimming in a mikvah. It has to be to do mitzvos. It can't be for any other reason. That's what Geirus is all about. The formality of telling them about the mitzvos, perhaps that's not miyakev. The Rav quotes in Kol Dodido Fake from his father, from Moshe Salvechik, that he suggested that perhaps that's why Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is not mentioned by the Gemara in Krisus as one of the essential stages of Geirus. Because it's not a stage of Geirus. It's the whole context of Geirus. That's what it's all about. That's the Sefer. That's the Iker. That's everything. The Milah Tefillah and Karban is the process. Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is not part of the process. It's not on par with Milah Tefillah. That's the background of everything. That's the context. It's a prerequisite. So therefore, could be that that's why that's what the Shulchan Aruch here means. It just means the formality of telling them about the mitzvot is not miyakeh. But clearly that's the context by which one comes to Geirus. The Rasag, the Achronim quote from the Rasag, that the Rasag writes in his Amunos Videos, that being Jewish is not identifying it with us as a nationality, even though we said there's an inyan of being identifying with Klal Yisrael historically, but as we're not a nationality that you come and you want to be Jewish, like you want to be, you know, Italian or American. It's not like that. We are a nation of ideology, and if you don't subscribe to our ideology, then it doesn't make sense that you want to say you want to become Jewish. Becoming Jewish is all about Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Toso seems to have a similar approach to the Rambam, but it's fundamentally different. Moshe Salavechik also points this out in the Kol Dodido Fake, that the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos the following. The Gemara there is discussing a woman who thought her whole life that she was Jewish, and then she discovers later on that she's not Jewish. She doesn't discover. We discover that she's not Jewish. So does she need a Geirus now? So the Gemara says no, she doesn't need Geirus because she already had Geirus. Migo Tavu Nidusa. Didn't she go to the mikvah for Nidus? So that tefillah that she had for Nidus can serve as a tefillah's Geirus. So Tosfos asks, how could her tefillah's Nidus serve as a tefillah's Geirus? Tefillah has to be in the presence of a Beis Din. We're going to learn that out of the pasuk Mishpat Echad Yilochem, that it says Mishpat by Geirus, Mishpat Ksiv Bei Mishpat needs a Din Torah. You need a Beis Din there. So if you need a Beis Din for Geirus, how could her tefillah's Nidus, or maybe there was a mikvah lady there, you don't have hopefully no Beis Din of men there for Tefillah's Nidus, so then how could that serve as a Tefillah's Geirus? So Tosfos deals with this. But Tosfos, one of his answers, we'll get to Tosfos' other answer much later, but Tosfos' first answer is that perhaps you don't need a Beis Din for the Tefillah of Geirus. You only need it for the real Geirus. What's the real Geirus? Tosfos says the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. You really need the Beis Din there to witness the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, but you don't need the Beis Din there to witness the Tefillah, maybe. Well, Chachilah, yes, but maybe Akev not. All you need it for really is the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So again, Ramosh Salvechik pointed out, everyone points out, that you see from Tosfos, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is the Iker Geirus, more than the Tefillah and the Mila. Perhaps along the same lines as the Rambam. However, Ramosh Salvechik suggests that it could be there's a fundamental difference between the Rambam and Tosfos. For Tosfos, the Beis Din has to witness the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. So it is a stage. It's the most important stage, more than Tefillah and Mila, but it is a stage of Geirus. You need the formality of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. The Rambam understood you don't even need the formality, you don't need it at all. It's not a stage, you don't need the Beis Din there for it, because that's the whole context of Geirus. It's the background of Geirus. It's not a stage, it's the context of Geirus. Everyone holds it's indispensable, but for different reasons. The Rambam held this because it's the context of Geirus. The Tosfos held because it's the most indispensable part, stage of Geirus. Could be there's an afkamina between the Rambam and Tosfos with regards to the Chakira that the Achronim have. The Vasha Weiss has this in his Minchas Asher, Masechet Shabbos. It's also in the Tshuvas of the Lev Aryeh, Dying Grosnas. When they discuss, what about, there's more, I guess, academic discussion. Can a Cheresh be Megayer? Cheresh is Pater and Mitzvahs. So by Ger Katan, you have the concept of a Ger Katan. But what about a cheresh? Can a cheresh be megayer? Is not chayiv in mitzvos? So the Lev Aryeh suggests that perhaps it's dependent on this issue. If for the Rambam that geir, that Kabbalah's whole mitzvah is a context for geiros, I'm coming because I want to identify with the Torah, you know, nation, the ideology of Torah, so a cheresh can also identify with the ideology of mitzvahs and Torah, even if he happens to be potter, but he can identify with it as an ideology. But for Tosas, that it's a formality, that you have to accept Kabbalah's whole mitzvah, and that has to be in front of Beis Din, and that's Me'akev, so then it could be that if the cheresh is not chayv in any mitzvot, he can't accept to do anything in front of a Beis Din, then it could be that the cheresh cannot be megayer. He can't have a kabbalah mitzvah because he's not chayv in anything. Interesting discussion. But everyone seems to agree that kabbalah mitzvot is miyakev. The hodos ha-mitzvot, the formality of telling him about the mitzvot in front and him accepting it, that might not be miyakev. But the kabbalah mitzvot is in fact critical, if not the context for all of Geirus. But now that the Hodos HaMitzvos is not Miyakev, we tell him about the mitzvos, but perhaps that's not Miyakev, that's what we said in Shulchan Aruch, even if you don't tell him about it, he's a good Geir. So what do we really expect from the Geir when we tell him about mitzvos? Does there have to be a reasonable expectation that he's going to perform the mitzvos, or is it good enough that we tell him about it and he says, I plan on doing it? We don't really care what happens, Lamaisa. Do we really have to have a reasonable expectation he's going to do it? Or as long as the guy says, yeah, we tell him about it. He says, okay, fine. Is that good enough? So Rav Ben Sion Uziel, one of the former chief rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, has a tshuva that a lot of people quote in his Piskei Uziel, which is the volume of his tshuvas. So he makes the argument that all you have to do is tell the ger about it. He says, okay. And that's good enough. What he does is his own business. We don't really need a reasonable expectation that he's going to do it. He says he's going to do it. That's fine. How does he know that we don't need a reasonable expectation that he's actually going to do the mitzvos? So he's a raya from the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara there in Masechet Shabbos, the beginning of Perek Kol Gadol, says if you have a person who violates Shabbos b'shoigeg, so you bring a karbon. If you violate many Shabbosos b'shoigeg, so if you forgot about the Shabbos each time, let's say I didn't know about Shabbos, Sunday someone tells me about Shabbos, the next Shabbos I forgot about Shabbos again, so you bring two karbonos. That was two mistakes. I found out about Shabbos in between, then I forgot about it again. If you, let's say you didn't know about Shabbos at all for 2 weeks, so you only bring one karbon. It's only one helam, one mistake. So the Gemara says, let's say a person violates many, many Shabbosos because he never knew about Shabbos. So then he only brings one karbon, even for a whole lifetime of violating Shabbos. So Gemara says, how do you have a person who never knew about Shabbos? Could you have such a thing? So the Gemara says, you can. Either a tinok shenishba bein anachrim, a person who's taken captive by Nachrim, or, and he's raised by Nachrim, or a ger shenizgayer bein anachrim, a ger who converts amongst Nachrim. So the Rishonim ask, how do you have a ger shenizgayer bein hanachrim? How can you have such a thing? You need a Beis Din. So Tosfos says, no, there was a Beis Din there. Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos. There was a Beis Din there. They just didn't tell him about Shabbos. That's a shver teretz. You have a Beis Din there who's converting him, and they forgot to mention Shabbos comes every 7 days, a pretty important mitzvah, and they just didn't tell him about it. So it's a shver teretz. So the Ramban and the Ritva give different terutzim. So the Ramban and the Ritva say that there was a Beis Din there, but Beis Din didn't tell him about any of the mitzvahs. They didn't tell him any of the mitzvahs. So you say, like the Rambam, Hodos HaMitzvahs, telling him about the mitzvahs is not Miyakev. So says of Uziel, if Hodos HaMitzvahs is not Miyakev, what do we really expect from the fellow? We expect the minute he converts, he's going to be keeping Tayag mitzvahs? Really? We didn't tell him about anything. We didn't tell him about Shabbos. Do you expect him to keep Shabbos? Obviously, we have no reasonable expectation he's going to keep anything. But that doesn't bother us. If Hodos HaMitzvahs is not Miyakev, so then there is no reasonable expectation that he's going to do anything. So just tell him. Even when you tell him, best case scenario, tell him and that's it. We're done. It's interesting, Ryan. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, I think Rav Moshe has the same kasha, and Rav Moshe gives a different answer. Rav Moshe answers, Rabbi Tendler alluded to this as well, that no, that's not what Kabbalah Tol Mitzvahs is about. Either you can ask a different question. We only tell him Mixas Mitzvahs Kalos, Mixas Mitzvahs Chamuros. We don't tell him everything. How do we really expect him to keep all the Tayag Mitzvahs right away? We didn't tell him about all of them. So the answer, Rav Moshe says, is that what Kabbalah Tol Mitzvahs means is that when I will find out, I will do it. Meaning, like Rabbi Tendler's mashal of a person who enters the army. When you sign up for the army, they don't tell you every single thing that you're going to be doing. You might have to do this, you might have to do that, you might do this, on this day we're going to ask you to do that. No, you accept to follow orders, and when you find out what the orders are, you accept to do them. So too, that's what Kabbalah on Mitzvahs is about. It's about accepting it to be part of the Tzvos Hashem, to glorify it. That the person is accepting to do what all the Mitzvahs when he will find out about them. And that's what Kabbalah on Mitzvahs is about. That's the expectation. The expectation is when I find them, and he finds out about the Mitzvahs, that he will actually keep them. In fact, if we know that the person doesn't expect to keep any one of the mitzvot, then we have a Gemara Maseches Becharis that says the Geiris is no good. The Gemara says Maseches Becharis, HaMegaya Chutz Midavar Echad. A guy accepts to do the mitzvot except for one. He says, that one, I'm not doing it. So then the Kabbalah on mitzvot is not valid, and the Geiris is no good. The Gemara there even says, even if it's Midivrei Seferim, even if it's a Din Midrabanan, and the person doesn't accept to do it, the Kabbalah on mitzvot is no good. You have to accept fully, to do whatever you will do when you're told. Do you have to know about it right away? No, you'll find out about it when you find out about it. But when you find out about it, the person has to expect to keep everything. Since that's the case, Reb Chaim Moser asks another important question, which is that we need to deal with, which is, well then, let's say we have a guy who converts, he accepts to do everything when he finds out about it, then he finds out about the issue of Lashon Hara. What does that mean? He's never going to talk Lashon Hara? And if he talks Lashon Hara, so now that undoes... That's Oikar is Kabbalah on Mitzvahs. I'm afraid a guy gets angry. So now all of a sudden his Kabbalah on Mitzvahs is undone. So Chaim Moser makes a very important distinction with regards to Garrison in life, and that is that there's a difference between a person who's Mekabel to do something and actually doing it. He accepts to do it, that's what he plans on doing, and that's his life's mission. Sometimes we don't live up to the challenge. Yeah, we're not Oymed B'Nisayon, but that doesn't mean that we don't accept that it's the right thing to do. We accept that it's the right thing to do, but it might not happen all the time. We accept that it's the right thing to do. So Chaim Moser has this distinction, the Ma'amar L'Hoyo has this distinction too, that there's a difference, or Moshe has it also, that there's a difference between accepting that that's the right thing to do and not being able to be Oymed B'Nisayon, that doesn't disrupt the Kabbalah Tzol Mitzvah. So Moshe had his tshuva, which Rabbi Tendler also mentioned, about a woman who came to Geirus, and then she wasn't able to be Oymed B'Nisayon on the Yom Tov Sheni. She had an important meeting and she went into work. And then she came back to Rav Moshe and she said she went into work on Yom Tov Sheni, and she knew she actually had the meeting when she was Megayer, but she was Cheshes, she might actually go. And she went. So she thought her Kabbalah Tzol Mitzvahs might be undone by the fact that she went to this meeting after her Geirus. So Rav Moshe told her that she wasn't Oymed B'Nisayon. But that doesn't necessarily mean that undoes the Geirus. I used to have a friend who used to say, Be'etzem, every day he davens in the base medrash here, Shachris. He's Mekabel, that's the right thing to do. Every day never works out. Mekabel's the right thing to do. I don't know if the community say that every day never works out. The Ma'amar L'Hoyo, though, does draw a line in the sand, that you can't say this with regards to mitzvahs that are part of daily Jewish life. You can't accept that it's the right thing to keep Shabbos and not do it. You can't accept it's the right thing to eat kosher and not do it, or that it's the right thing to have Taras HaMishpacha and you just, every month, she's not Oymed B'Nisayon and she doesn't go to the mikvah. There are certain things that are part of daily Jewish life, that you have to be Oymed B'Nisayon most of the time. You can't, if you're not going to be Oymed B'Nisayon on those things, then you just don't accept to be Jewish. So Milam of the Hoyle said, those things that are part of daily Jewish life, if you don't accept them, then you actually do them, then that Kabbalah Tzol Mitzvahs doesn't mean anything. Kind of like, you know, like dominating the base manager every day. It doesn't mean anything unless you actually do it most of the time. But if it's not part of daily Jewish life, then you have this distinction. What's difficult is Rav Moshe has a tshuva. This is what Finkelstein talks about in his doctoral dissertation. He quotes all these tshuvas from Rav Moshe, the stiras, because probably all the cases were different. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva to a woman who didn't want to dress betznius. So Rav Moshe says, nah, that's called not being Oymed B'Nisayon. It's a hard distinction. It's probably called not accepting. I don't know why Rav Moshe held that was called not being Oymed B'Nisayon. Also, it's part of daily Jewish life to dress betznius. So yeah.
Well, I think Rabbi Ram said that they will convert people if they're not perfect like that because of like societal norms. It's just like how you can't, because enough Orthodox communities it hasn't been accepted. I think Rav Moshe
within the Orthodox community you find this.
Right, because you find it. It's like hard to expect them to do things that those Orthodox Jews aren't doing as well.
But they also have a line in the sand.
Right, they have that one.
They have their lines in the sand.
They have their lines, yeah.
Right, everybody draws a line in the sand somewhere.
Right.
Right. I'm sure other Batei Din would draw it a little more to...
Right, not
exactly. He's saying in an hour, Me'anshei Shlomenu, we find this variety, so you're able to fit in somewhere, in our spectrum. But even we all have a spectrum, it's not going to be everywhere. Okay, so but let's say you know, your standard ger, not that we have comes before Beis Din and he says he's going to be Megayer and he accepts to do the mitzvahs. We have our distinction between the Chem Deshlomo, Hodos mitzvahs is not Miyake, but Kabbalos mitzvahs is Miyake. He has to accept to do the mitzvahs. Whether we actually informed him about mitzvahs, mitzvahs kalos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamuros is irrelevant. Not irrelevant, but it's not Miyake. But he has to accept to do the mitzvahs. So, but let's say a guy says, yeah, I accept to do the mitzvahs. Do we take him at his word? I mean, is that good enough? So Reb Chaim Elzer quotes from the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, in the second parak, that if a person sells a house, and he sells his house having a mind that he's going to Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he's selling his house, and then his plans fall through, and he ends up staying, and he wants to retract on the sale, wants to back out of the sale. So the Gemara says he can't back out of the sale. Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. Unless you said explicitly, I'm only selling this to you, I'm an asset, I'm going to Eretz Israel, then you can back out. If it wasn't said explicitly, it wasn't articulated, then you can't back out, even though you had it in your mind, because Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. So too over here, Reb Chaim Elzer says that if even if the guy has in his mind that he doesn't plan on keeping one of the mitzvahs, we would say Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. Guy says, we ask him, do you accept to do the mitzvahs? So when you find out about all the rest of the mitzvahs, will you accept to do them? And he says, yes, so that's good enough. Rev Uziel is discussing something else. He's discussing a guy says, I plan to do all the mitzvahs, and we know he doesn't mean it. So the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, if you have an umdana demuchach, beliba, belev koladim, there are certain things that everybody, even if it's not articulated, we know that it's meant. For example, you buy a car, and there's no engine, and then you're about to drive out, and it doesn't start, and say, oh, you didn't stipulate, you wanted an engine, that's dvarim shebelev. That's not dvarim shebelev. That's everybody, when you buy a car, unless he's an idiot, wants an engine. So too over here. If it's not Dvarim Shebelev, the guy accepts to do mitzvahs and everything seems on the up and up, that even if he has in his heart not to do it, that's Dvarim Shebelev. Here, in Rav Uziel's case, that was a case where we have every reason to believe that he's not going to keep the mitzvahs. He says he does, but it's hard to believe. So Rav Uziel was willing to say, I don't care. As long as the guy accepted, that's fine. What actually happens is not our business. So that we don't accept Rav Uziel. Because if it's so obvious, if it's Dvarim Shebelev, Velev Koladim, there's an Umdir Demuchach that he doesn't mean it, so then we don't accept his Kabbalah as genuine. Rav Unterman, in his Shevet Miyehuda, that was a tshuva that Rabbi Tengler dwelt at length about. Rav Unterman was discussing some of the Russian immigrants, Eretz Israel, so he says if they live in a kibbutz lo dati, they live in a kibbutz that's not religious, so all the food there isn't kosher. We really expect you to, no Shabbos there. We really expect you to be able to be shomer the, you know, Torah mitzvahs. So even though you say you're going to do everything, it's an umdin of the muchach, beliba, belev, koladim, that you don't mean what you say. And we don't accept such a kabbalah so mitzvah. So Rav Moshe quotes from his father that other cases where you have an umdin of the muchach. For example, if one of the, let's say a person is being megayer in order to marry somebody else, which we'll discuss if you're not really supposed to do it, but this manenu might be different. A guy is converting in order to marry a girl. The girl is not religious. So we expect the non-Jewish spouse who's converting in order to marry the Jewish spouse to be more religious than the Jewish spouse? How can you expect such a thing? They actually point out, people in Gerus actually point out, a lot of times it happens like that. Yeah, it happens a lot. But it's, I mean, it's an unreasonable expectation. It might happen later. Huh? It happens. But it's an unreasonable, Moshe writes, an unreasonable expectation for the person to be more religious than their Jewish spouse. So Moshe writes, there is an umdin muchach believer, leiv kolam, that you don't mean what you say. That's why many hold that you have to live not only in a kibbutz dati, but you have to live within a Jewish community. Most batei din, legiur, have a rule that you have to live in a Jewish community that has Jewish infrastructure. Because otherwise, how do we expect you to be Jewish in some little outpost? It's unreasonable. They started now having on YU Torah, they have a comment section. You can email in a question. So last year, some woman emailed me from one of these shiurim, I guess, the Chazar Shir. Emailed me, she was listening to Chazar Shir, and she wants to come to Geirus, and she lives somewhere in New Zealand. And a rabbi in New Zealand, she called the main, I don't know what the main Jewish community there is, and she lives in the middle of nowhere. And they told her, you have to move here before we even enroll you in the class. So she thought that was unreasonable. She said, why do I have to move there? So she emailed me, do I think that that's correct? So I said, yeah, it is correct. Most, but they didn't have that, because if you don't live within the confines of a Jewish community, it's Varm Shabbaliba, Vlev Kodim, you're not going to keep the mitzvahs, because it's not possible. Reb Chaim Oizer and the Dvar Avram both suggest perhaps we should even be more machmir, because Reb Chaim Oizer suggests Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim is only with something that's usually articulated. It's Dvarim Shebepeh, usually. A condition on a sale is Dvarim Shebepeh. You had in mind that Dvarim Shebelev. Here, Geirus, everything is Dvarim Shebelev. It's all about intentions. So perhaps here we say Dvarim Shebelev having Dvarim. And if the person has in their heart that they don't accept to do the mitzvahs, maybe we should even, the geirus should be no good, l'mafreya, even if it's just in his heart. Even if there's no umdin and demuchach, perhaps the geirus is no good. So most poskim don't go that far, even Reb Chaim Oizer doesn't suggest that l'maisa, but it's an interesting svara that they suggest. This is why the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, and the Mishnah says in Maseches Yevamos, that we are skeptical about accepting geirim who are coming for ulterior motives, because their kabbalas ol mitzvos is suspect. It's bordering on an umdin of the muchach that the person is not going to keep the mitzvos. The Mishnah says in Maseches Yevamos that if a person is nitan ala shivcha means that there's a rumor that he's had relations with the shivcha. It's a rumor. The rumor. So the Mishnah there says in Maseches Yevamos three halachas. First it says, lo yichnois, we shouldn't accept such a geirus. And one opinion in the Mishnah there held the geirus is no good b'diyeved. That was from Nechemia, because the Kabbalah's whole mitzvah is suspect. We don't really believe he's, it's umdin in the muchach, that he's not being megayer, with shame Kabbalah's whole mitzvah. Then, so b'diyeved is no good. Then we don't pass like Reb Nechemia, we pass him b'diyeved kulam geirim heim. Person converts to an ulterior motive, the geirus is good. So, but there's we shouldn't accept such a ger. The Mishnah says the chachilah, we don't accept such a ger. Everyone agrees the chachilah, we don't accept such a ger. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two is we paskin b'diyeved the geris is good. Reb Nechemia held the geris is no good, but we paskin the geris is good. And the third halacha is even if the geris is good, after the person converts, we shouldn't let him marry the shivcha, and that we shouldn't do. So we need to analyze each one of those halachas. So the first halacha is we shouldn't accept such a ger lechachilah. We know why we shouldn't accept such a ger lechachilah, because the kabbalah's whole mitzvah is suspect. For Reb Nechemia held the geirus is no good because he held there's an umdin de muchach here, the guy's not makabel ol mitzvos. We paskin the geirus is good, that b'dieved kulam geirim heim. Why do we paskin b'dieved kulam geirim heim? This is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Beis. Why should the geirus be good? Isn't his kabbalah's ol mitzvos suspect? Umdin de muchach. So Chidushi HaRitva and that Gemara Yevamos explains that it's because where are they going to live? Like we said before, they're going to have to live in a Jewish community. They're Jewish. So how can you live in a Jewish community and be not religious? Agav unsai hu gamar v'kibo. So the Ritva says if she's going to be married to a Jewish man and she's living in a Jewish community, they're going to be ostracized if they're not religious. So she's going to be forced to keep the mitzvahs by communal pressure. Agav unsai hu gamar v'kibo. So Rav Herzog in his Chuvus in the Heichal Yitzchak and the Dvar Avram has this also suggests, is that really true in our contemporary, if you live in New Square, Kiryas Yael, it's probably true. But if you don't live in one of those Jewish communities, is there really that much communal pressure to be Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs? So then maybe we should say a person's Megayer for an ulterior motive, the Geirus is no good even b'diyeved, because we don't have that Svar of the Ritva. The Poskim don't say this L'maisa, but it's an interesting point. Maybe we have to think about why we don't say it. Because the whole reason the Geirus was good, in the end, says the Ritva, was because Agav Unsayhu Gamer V'Kibo, she's going to be forced to accept it. Huh? Is that really true anymore? But l'chadchila, we should not accept such a ger. That's the first halacha. The second halacha was, which is the one we just discussed, b'dieved the geirus is good. Because we assume communal pressure shall accept. But l'chadchila, we're not supposed to accept such a ger. However, with regards to this l'chadchila, of not accepting such a ger, who comes for ulterior motives, that's half of the geirus nowadays, by the way. It's people who come for an ulterior motive. You have geirim who come totally l'shma, but it's, I don't think that that's the majority of cases. So l'chadchila, you're not supposed to accept such a ger. But with regards to this halacha of l'chadchila, we're not supposed to accept a ger who comes from an ulterior motive, there is some latitude. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, tells a story about the ger who was standing outside of the Beis HaMedrash, and he heard them discussing the Big Day Kohen Gadol, and he interested, he was intrigued by the Big Day Kohen Gadol, so he came inside the Beis HaMedrash, he said, who gets to wear these begadim? These wonderful begadim, they told him the Kohen Gadol gets to wear them, so he came to Hillel and Shammai to convert him on Menashe Yeh Kohen Gadol. Shammai, we know what happened, but Hillel converted him. And then the guy learned a little more, and he realized he couldn't become the Kohen Gadol, and he remained a religious Jew. So the Taisus there asks, how could Hillel convert him? The guy was converting to become the Kohen Gadol. No different than a guy who converts in order to marry a woman, or a person who converts during the times of Mordechai the Esther, where the Gemara says in Yevamos, we don't accept the Ger L'chadchila because they're converting because it's good to be Jewish, or during the times of David HaMelech. We don't accept Gerim because their Kabbalah's own mitzvah is suspect because it's good to be Jewish. Same thing would be today. A guy converts in order to get Zechusim in Eretz Yisrael. So that also is converting in an ulterior motive. So how could Hillel convert this Ger when he was coming from an ulterior motive? So Tosfos answered, because Hillel knew that he was going to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos in the end. So the Shach here, Sifkan Chav Gimel, writes that Hakol Torah if he re'os Einei Adayin. If the Dayan thinks that in the end the Ger will be Shomer Torah Mitzvos Lishma, he's allowed to convert them even though their main motivation for coming was something else. So if you could tell, and you're convinced that the Ger, and this is what they'll put the Ger through a process, if you could tell that the Ger, you're convinced that the Ger will be Lishma in the end, could accept Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, then you're allowed to convert them even though they're coming for an ulterior motive. There are other cases where you could have, we'll convert people L'shem Yishus. The Reb Chaim Oz and the Malam Elaho both discuss a case where a person is, they're civilly married already. They're living together already. A non-Jewish woman with a Jewish man. So, maybe that's not called converting L'shem Yishus. They're already married. They're not converting in order to be together. They're already married. So maybe that's not called converting L'shem Yishus. But besides which, you have this latitude. The Shach that in Tarsus that if you think the person will in the end be Lishma, that you're allowed to do such a geirus. Rabbi Goren had a very controversial psak with regards to there are two celebrated cases with regards to Rabbi Goren in the early 70s with regards to geirus, which are somewhat contradictory, which is why but each one was independently interesting, and then they also happened to be contradictory. But Rabbi Goren's first case was with regards to, if you want interested in the real story over here, Rabbi Rakefet has a shiur where he talks about these cases at length, with the history and the edus and all the gory, juicy details. But the basic outline of the case was one of the first case Rabbi Goren had was with this woman Helen Seidman, who was living on a not religious kibbutz, but she wanted to convert with a reform conversion or something, and she claimed a conservative conversion. I don't know all the details, but she wanted to convert, and there was no expectation she was going to keep Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and she was only converting in order to get the benefits of being Jewish in Eretz Yisrael. And she was a vegetarian, and she wasn't going to eat off the kalim, some whole maisa. So Rabbi Goren claimed the following. Rabbi Goren claimed, even though we don't accept Gerim, L'chadchila, who are converting for ulterior motives, but he suggested perhaps this is only in Chutzla or it's not in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Gemara, he says, if you look throughout the Talmud Bavli, you'll find a few times this phrase, Kashim Gerim Yisrael Kesapachas. Gerim are difficult and Klal Yisrael like a blister. But in Yushalmi, you never find this phrase, Kashim Gerim Yisrael Kesapachas. Why don't we find it in Yushalmi? So Rabbi Goren said, because it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, a person converts. So there's always an expectation they're going to accept Ol Mitzvahs.
You only find it in the Bavli?
You only find the Talmud Bavli, not in the Talmud Yushalmi. So he claims it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Bleich has an article about this case also in one of the early volumes of Contemporary Rachach Problems. So he criticizes Rabbi Goren as confusing nationalistic identity in identifying as nationally as Israeli versus Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. But that was Rabbi Goren's svar, was that in Eretz Yisrael everybody ends up being Mekavo Ol Mitzvos at some point. Something like that. So that was one psak Rabbi Goren, that perhaps this l'chadchila, I'm not accepting a ger who comes for ulterior motives, doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, everybody ends up being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs.
Does Rabbi Noach accept that psak?
I don't know. I don't think he ever printed a tshuva in either one of these two cases. That also adds to the...
They reprinted that paragraph. I think he talks about the difference.
He wrote a penned a tshuva about it? I don't think so.
It was written from after, I guess, in his name. I don't know if he wrote it.
So, okay, so we take most people at their word. I'm sorry. So if a person comes to be Makabo, a person comes to Geirus for an ulterior motive, so Chachli, we're not supposed to accept them. But if we accept them, so then the Geirus is good. However, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Beis, quoting from the Rambam, that that's not the end of the story. Person converts for an ulterior motive, so Kulam Geirim Heim. But the Shulchan Aruch says we continue to follow him. We look after him. This guy who converted for an ulterior motive, the Geirus is good. So we follow him around. There's aftercare to to make sure that the Ge'er is keeping up to what he said he was going to do. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam himself, is very unclear. And there's a lot of confusion that stems from this one line in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, V'chol shen lo'ad shetizbaris hidkuso, a person who's a Megayer, if you didn't tell him the Kabbalah Tzol Mitzvah, so he converts for a different reason, so chol shen lo'ad shetizbaris hidkuso, you follow him around, and then the Shulchan Aruch says, and what's the end game? Let's say you catch him. So Shulchan Aruch says, afil chazer v'avad alilim, even the guy goes back and he worships Avodah Zarah, harei ki Yisrael mumar. He's in, but he's a mumar. Shekidush of kidushim. So why do we follow him around? What's going on? We follow him around, but even if we catch him, so then he's still Jewish. How do you have such a thing? So Rav Moshe, everyone says this distinction, and again, the question is, where do you draw the line in the sand? But Rav Moshe, and Rabbi Goren says the same thing, but it's a question of shiurim. But Rav Moshe said that obviously there's a distinction between right away and la'achar zman. Chol shen lo'ad shetizbar sikuso means in the immediate future. And if in the immediate future, he goes to, as Rabbi Talmud gave the example, the guy goes to celebrate his Geirus in Red Lobster, so then the Geirus is undone. That doesn't mean anything. But if later, after time, he's chazer v'avet alilim, then it's a reu ki Yisrael gamar. Then he's Jewish and he's in. So the question again is, where do you draw the line? Some, I've heard from, some people say 30 days, Rav Sheffield once told me, 30 days, I think. But I don't know. That's the question, is where do you draw the line? But there is clearly a waiting period where the Geirus is somewhat in limbo. Well, we'll sechosh and lodge at this bar tzidkuso, and then there's a period of time afterwards, once you've passed that sensitive stage, of right after the Geirus, where if a person goes back and he worships Avodah Zarah, the guy goes back and he gives up Kabbalah Tzol Mitzvah, that his Geirus is good, and we're not going to be okay the Geirus l'mafreya. So there was a question, this was another case involving Rabbi Gorin, which was at the same time coincided with his ascent to become the chief rabbi, and Rabbi Yashav's leaving the Rabbanut. But there was a case of a brother and a sister who were the product of a following relationship of a woman who was Jewish, but she converted in Russia. She married a convert in Russia. She married a man who converted in Russia. She was Jewish. And then he didn't come with her to Eretz Yisrael. She left him and came to Eretz Yisrael, and she got remarried in Eretz Yisrael and had a daughter and a son. But she never got a divorce from this Russian guy, Borkovsky. She never got a divorce from Borkovsky. So it was came out later when the children were in the army that their mother was previously married and she never got a get. So they were declared, the Rabbanut, the Rabbi Yashav declared them as Mamzerim. So Rabbi Goren, who I think was the chief rabbi of the army at the time, so he said he came out with a psak that they were not gay, they were not Mamzerim, because he undid Borkovsky's Geirus. Yeah, the testimony and Edus, Rabbi Kefet has all the details, that people saw him being Machal Shabbos, doing Averus right after the Geirus. So he undid the Geirus L'mafreya. And other people weren't as happy with his undoing the Geirus L'mafreya. So again, that has to do with this. Again, undoing the Geirus L'mafreya is only if in that initial stage. You can't undo it 10 years later. Everyone agrees to that. And I think everyone would agree if right away the guy goes to celebrate in Red Lobster, so then that's no good. The question again is, where do you draw the line in the sand? How much time do you have to undo the Geirus? How much time not? That's what's going on today, nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, with people undoing Geirus. It's not undoing Geirus years later. The question is, how long is that initial period where the person has to have the real assumption, the reasonable expectation that he's actually going to keep Kabbalah Tzol Mitzvahs, once he's past that initial stage where he's already in, and even if he goes back to doing Averos, he's Yisrael Mumar.
Is that for all conversions?
Yeah, you know, the Shulchan Aruch has it by a person who converts for an ulterior motive. Or we didn't tell him about Im lo bodku acharav, or shlo hodiu schar mitzvahs, then it's koshen lo achet esbar tzidkuso. I don't know. But that's most of the Geirus nowadays anyway. Converting for ulterior motives. The Geirim in Eretz Yisrael is converting for ulterior motives. There's a lot of benefits, side benefits. I know of a guy, like Rabbi Tendler's case, a guy called him up, where was it, in the Netherlands, Holland, or whatever, emailed him and moved to Muncie. I don't know if he chosen lodge, it's inspired, because the whole family, I don't know. But that's not where the Shulchan Aruch has it. But most cases of Geirus, you'll have it. The third halacha in that Mishnah is that a person converts for an ulterior motive, so b'diyeved the geiris is good, kulam geirim heim, but even after they convert, they're not allowed to marry the person who they were rumored to have had a relationship with. Why are you not allowed to marry the person who was rumored to have a relationship with? So Rashi says, because you'll be confirming the rumor if you marry the girl. So what's so bad about confirming the rumor? What does that do anymore? What's the purpose? What's the problem with it? So Rav Moshe explains in the Tshuva the same thing as in Rav Chaim Moser has in the Achi Yezer. Everyone has the same stuff over here. That it's based on the Gemara Maseches Yuma. The Gemara Maseches Yuma asks a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, "Ashrei noisei pshav kisoi chata." It's better to cover over your mistakes. The other pasuk says, "Mechasha pshav lo yatsliach." If a person covers over his mistakes, he'll never be matsliach. So the Gemara resolves, "Ha bechet mafursam." If it's a well-known aveira that you did, better to fess up. If nobody knows about it, then don't say anything. So Rav Moshe and Rav Chaim Moser claim the Isra over here is you're publicizing an aveira that you did where no one really knew about it, and then you just confirm the rumor. If everyone knows about it, there's nothing wrong with publicizing the aveira. It's good to publicize your tshuva. But nobody knew about it over here, so confirming the rumor is a problem because you're publicizing an aveira. So Rav Chaim Moser and Rav Moshe both say, let's say this couple is civilly married. You have a non-Jewish woman living with a Jewish man, and they're civilly married. Or they're even living together, even if they're not civilly married. So then, what do you realize? It was confirmed already. So then maybe there's nothing additional added by actually getting married after after she converts. There's nothing, no added problem with that. The only problem is that you have your slippery slope, is that it's your Nimsi Hechote Niskar. From the fact that they were living together, we're going to introduce a kula. So that's an issue. Someone told me the Syrians don't accept Gerim because they don't want to encourage intermarriage. Because if you accept Gerim, so then, again, you have these slippery slopes along those lines. The Reb Chaim Moser also quotes, just on this last point, Reb Chaim Moser also quotes a tshuva from the Rambam, that perhaps we would allow them to get married or accept the gerus l'chadchila of a person who's living with an non-Jewish woman, even though l'chadchila we don't accept such gerim, we would accept the gerus in order to save him from isurim. Meaning this fellow is living with a nachri. She wants to convert in order that she should be Jewish, and he'll live with a Jewish woman. So even though l'chadchila we don't accept the gerus converting for ulterior motives, here perhaps the Rambam says we should do it to save him from the isur of living with a nachri. So that's true. Sometimes, Reb Chaim Moser says, we'll do allow them to get married in order to save them from the east. They're going to live together anyway. We'll bow to the pressure and allow her to convert because in order to save him from the east of living with the nachris. But Reb Chaim Moser is quick to point out, we don't bow to every pressure. Let's say a guy says, either convert my wife or we're going to go to a reform conversion. No, so Reb Chaim Moser says, no, we don't care. You want to go to reform conversion? Go to reform conversion. We're not swayed by that argument. But if a guy comes and he says he wants to convert his wife so he won't live be'isur, even though chachil, we don't accept such gerim, the Rambam says in the Tshuva, we should entertain it in order to save him from the isur of a nachri or living with a nachris and such. Yeah?
Is there a problem with chatik issues with
chaverot? Yes, Reb Chaim Moser discusses this at length. Go ahead and look at it. It's a very interesting discussion. Because he says, we're doing an avera to save him from... But it's our avera, because we're accepting. That's what he discusses. Is it his avera? Is it our avera? Whose avera isn't? And then really, he says, it's our avera, so we shouldn't do it. It's all in that one little truth from Chaim Moser has this whole discussion. Accepting, so it's rabbinic malpractice for us to accept such a gear. So, maybe it's our problem. And we're doing it to save him from an Isar. Okay, that's the whole story with the Kabbalah Sommitzvah. So Shulchan Aruch here in Eben HaEzer, it's actually not here, it's a very important halacha with regards to Geirus. It really applies not only to Geirus, but every divorced woman or an almana, before she gets remarried, has to wait 3 months. L'havchin ben zera l'zera, in order to make sure that the child that she has with the new husband, she wants to get remarried after Geirus, and she has to wait 3 months to make sure she wasn't pregnant from the previous husband. Or an almana, same halacha. So too, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, you had such a halacha with regards to Geirus too. L'havchin ben zera kodesh l'zera chol, in order to make sure that the child that she has is Jewish and not conceived when she wasn't Jewish. However, the Dagam Rebava, so that's halacha by Geirus, that the woman has to be parish 3 months after she converts to make sure, or 3 months before she converts to make sure that she wasn't pregnant at the time of the conversion. So that's true. By the way, you have a non-Jewish couple. The couple's coming for conversion together, so they'd have to separate for 3 months. Certainly, if she's coming to convert to live with a Jewish man, you'd also have to have it. She's going to have to separate anyway. If she's coming to marry a Jewish man, she says she's going to accept to do all mitzvahs, but she's living with a Jewish man. Doesn't look so good. She's a... Huh?
Yeah.
They wouldn't accept it. Who's living with a non-Jewish woman? Because how can you really accept all mitzvahs? So either way, you're going to have to separate. But even if you have it, where you really have this is a non-Jewish couple who's married, and they want to come to conversion together, that they'll have to separate. So there's a Dagum Ravava on that sif in Ebn Ezer, where the Dagum Ravava says that perhaps there's room to be mekel here with regards to a woman who we know is impregnant. See, the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that this gzera of havchana, of waiting 3 months, applies even if the woman is very old, even if the woman is 80 and she's not conceiving, you still have to wait 3 months. Or she's an islandess and we know she's not going to conceive, that you have to wait 3 months. Or she had a hysterectomy, you still have to wait 3 months. It doesn't make a difference. Or let's say she takes a pregnancy test, still you have to wait 3 months. However, the Dagum Ravava suggests that perhaps there's only a low plug with regards to a grusha and an almana. But with regards to a giores, perhaps there is no low plug. Because we don't find havchana by a regular single girl. A giores needs to do it even if she's single. She wasn't married, no marriage. She needs to do it. Whereas, so he claims perhaps there's no low plug by a giores. Perhaps it's only if we actually have a chashash that she might be pregnant. So that's why some but they didn't will be meiko. With based on that Dagum Ravava, if it will, the Gioris takes a pregnancy test, that she might not have to wait to have Chana. So I'm sure different, but they didn't have different policies about that. Okay, so after the person accepts to do the Kabbalah Tol Mitzvahs, so there's back to the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Bey. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Malin Oso Miyad, we do Mila right away. And then you do Tvila. And while he's in the mikveh, we tell him about the whole mitzvahs. When he comes, then he goes under the water, he comes out, and he's a full ger. That's the seder that the Gemara has. So the Ramban is medayik from that Gemara that the seder is miyakev. You're supposed to do mila. I'm sorry, the Gemara said, the Gemara implies that the seder is miyakev. You have to do mila and then tfila. So the Ramban shows that it's not true. The seder is not, in fact, miyakev. How does he know the seder is not miyakev? You don't need to do mila first, then tfila. Because the Gemara has the case of Uberish and Izgaira. You have a pregnant woman who converts. So the Gemara says, Benoina Tzarach Tvila. Her child does not need Tvila. But when the son is born, he needs Mila. So the Ramban says, when did he have his Tvilas Geirus? He has Tvilas Geirus together with the mother. But the Mila that he's going to have for Geirus is only later. So the Ramban says, you see from the case of Uberish and Izgaira, that the child doesn't need tefillah, but he needs mila later, that the tefillah can happen before the mila. So that's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch there in Sif Aleph, that the Seder is not miyakev. Tosafot and the Mukei Yosef and the Ra'ah disagree, and they say the Seder is miyakev. The case of Muberish and his Gaira is different, because there the child is like Uber Yerachima, the child becomes like an Akeva. And therefore the mila that he has is a milas mitzvah, milas Yisrael, not a milas Geirus. The child's whole conversion consists of just tefillah. He latches on to the mother and converts with the mother. But really, by a real Geirus, not a Muberish and his Gaira, where the child didn't latch on to the mother, he wasn't pregnant at the time, so then the Mila would have to be before the Tvila. It is Miyakev. So that's two opinions there, and Sif Aleph is the Seder Miyakev. The Achronim claim that there's really, in fact, a fundamental machlokas here between Tosus and the Ramban, is what as far as the parameters of Milas Geirus. Itzel Apanovitcher has this in the Zecher Yitzchak, the same thing as in Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, that they're arguing about whether or not Milas Geirus is an essential part of Geirus, is it a stage of Geirus, or perhaps it's a prerequisite of Geirus. You can't convert if you're an Orel, but the Mila is not part of the formal Geirus, it's a prerequisite. So the Ramban understands that it's part of Geirus, it's like, it's part of the sandwich, is Mila. So what goes on top, what goes on the bottom, doesn't make a difference. The Tvila first, Mila first, they're both parts of Geirus. What difference does it make the order? Tosus understands that Mila's Geirus is not a part of the Geirus, formal process of Geirus, is a prerequisite to Geirus. Therefore, the Mila must become first. Real Geirus consists of Tvila and Kabbalah Tol Mitzvos. The Mila is a prerequisite, but you can't do the Mila later, because otherwise the Geirus never gets off the ground. There could be a Nafka Mina two nafkaminas with regards to this issue. The first one could be with regards to a case which is common, common, but it happens, of a person who thought they were Jewish. Let's say they had a conversion, but the conversion wasn't a good conversion. But they thought because they converted that their child was Jewish. And therefore they had a regular geiris for the child. They didn't know, they didn't think the child wasn't Jewish. Then it turns out later their geiris was no good and the child isn't Jewish. Couple discovers later on that their geiris was no good and their child's not Jewish. So do they need to do a tafas dam bris on the child or not? So that case is discussed by the Har Tzvi, and there was a dayan from Haifa, I think, the Mishpatei Shmuel, Tshuva Sefer Shefto, I used to quote it. What if you had a milu l'shem yados, not a milu l'shem geirus? So many assume that it depends on this issue. If milu is part of geirus, then it has to be l'shem geirus. But if milu is just a prerequisite to geirus, so then maybe if you had a milu, a regular bris, with a mile and everything, but it was l'shem yados, but it wasn't l'shem geirus, that should be good enough. That's a good milu. The milu of geirus is not essential to geirus, it's just you have to have it. So then it could be, it's just if you have a circumcision in a hospital, that's not called milu at all. That's called circumcision, it's not milu. But if you had a regular moyo with all the everything that goes along with that, maybe the geirus, maybe the milu would be good. And we're generally makel on that a milu yahadus is good. Rabbi Henkin had a case like this, which is in his Shuvis about, I think it was actually published in the journal Moriah, and then Rabbi Moshe disagreed, also published in the journal Moriah. But the first Rabbi Henkin's case was a couple discovered that they weren't Jewish. They thought their geirus was good, the geirus wasn't good. And then they didn't want to tell their children, though. So they wanted to say, but Reb Henkin suggested, perhaps you don't have to tell the children. Because the sons probably went to the mikvah before Yom Kippur once, twice. Probably there were three men there. It's all right. Milo Tavu and Nidusa. They didn't go to mikvah for Geirus, for Nidus. And here you had a Beis Din. Because by most men's mikvah, every Yom Kippur there's a Beis Din over there. And then he says, you had a Milas Yahadus. So maybe you don't even have to tell the children. Sure, Moshe disagreed. Moshe felt he had to tell them. You can't assume all those things. But a milas yahadus, many assume would be good. This might also be dependent on, this might also have relevance to the discussion in the poskim, whether or not you can have general anesthesia for a milas geirus. The Sfida Yesh says you can't have a general anesthesia. How can the guy become Jewish while he's sleeping? Can't have it. And Dayan Grosnas has a tshuva in the Lev Aryeh where he claims you can have general anesthesia for Mila. You're not becoming Jewish at the time of the Mila. You're getting rid of your status of being an Oriel, and now you're fit for conversion. But that's a prerequisite to Geirus, not so much a part of the Geirus. I think people are making on that too, that it's not part of the Geirus, it's a prerequisite to Geirus, in which case you could have a general anesthesia. Okay, so first you're supposed to have the Mila. Yeah?
Does that mean, because there are
those cases that were not going to have Mila? I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know if they're so marked on the consistent lumdus of the case. I linked the two together. I don't know if you have to link the two together. So you're first supposed to have Mila, then you have to wait for the wound to heal, and then you have your tefillah, and then the guy becomes Jewish. What do you do in the interim? So the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin and elsewhere that a goy sheshavas, or a goy who learns Torah, is chayv misa. So what do you have? What do you do in the interim? You have a ger shemal v'lo taval. He had mila and he hasn't had tefillah yet. So there was a famous case in the 1840s when Shmuel Salant, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim for a long, long time, went on vacation once, I think, and he left a replacement there, Rav Asher Lemel, and this happened while he was away. Which is that there was this ger, shemal v'lo taval, presented himself, and he wanted to know, am I supposed to, what is he supposed to do? Either way, he's stuck. Is he chayv to keep Shabbos, or perhaps he's obligated to break Shabbos? He's not allowed to keep Shabbos. So Rabbi Shlomo told him he's not allowed to keep Shabbos, he's not Jewish. A ger, shemal v'lo taval is nothing. So he's chayv to be mechalal Shabbos. And when Rav Shmuel Salant came back, they sent the shayla to the Binyan Tzion, and also Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, they held that, no, Ger Shemal V'lo Taval is a little bit Jewish. He's Yotze Midei Akum, Mochal Yisrael Loba. He's somewhere in between. And he's allowed to keep Shabbos. And later, the Achronim showed that it's Machlokos Tosis and the Rashba, Meseches Yevamos, what's the status of a Ger Shemal V'lo Taval? That might have relevance to this discussion, too. Is Mila part of Geirus or not? If it's just a prerequisite, a Mal V'lo Taval is nothing. If it's part of Geirus, maybe we could begin to discuss that a Marbel or Tavel perhaps is a little bit Jewish. Maybe he'd be allowed to keep Shabbos, allowed to learn Torah. Besides which, there's a whole... one can make the argument that he's not chayv to be mechallel Shabbos, or he's allowed to learn Torah for a different reason. Tosfos Yeshanim in Maseches Yevamos writes, and this also came up in that discussion, that Hager Habola his Geyer, someone who's in the process of Geyrus, he hasn't yet had Milat Tzviwa, but he's learning, you know, he's studying to be a Geyer, as they say nowadays. He's trying to become a Geyer. He's accepted he wants to be a Geyer. He's allowed to keep Shabbos already. And Tosfos Yeshanim said, we award a certain status to that Geyer who comes, who started the process of conversion, and he wants to convert. And this might depend on the famous machlokas in the Maharsha and Rebbe Akiva Eger with regards to teaching a ger, prospective ger Torah. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, we mentioned already, that the ger wanted to convert in order to become the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says Hillel converted him, and then the guy sat and learned in Kailo, and he got up to the Pasuk Vazara Karev Yumas, that even a regular Yisrael is not allowed to bring a carbon, and they told him even David Melch Yisrael brings a carbon, gets put to death, and he recognized that he could never become better than David Melch Yisrael, and he would not become a Kohen Gadol, no matter how hard he tried, but nonetheless remained the committed Jew. So Tosfos asks, how was Hillel allowed to convert him? He's converting from an ulterior motive. So Tosfos has his answer, because he knew in the end that he would be sincere. The Maharsha and that Gemara says a different answer. The Maharsha says, nah, but he says, the Gemara is lav davka. The Gemara says, Hillel converted him, it doesn't mean he converted him. He waited till the guy realized that he couldn't become a Kohen Gadol, and then he converted him. Ah, the Gemara says he converted him right away, so it doesn't mean he converted him. Ah, but says Maharsha, but he's learning Torah. How's he got to learn Torah? He's not Jewish. So he said, oh, you see from here, that again, all these guys is allowed to learn Torah. We award him a certain status. Of a Gerab, all these guys here. Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees. He says, Tosfos asked that very question, and Tosfos gave a different answer. When Marshall's making up answers. So Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees, and he says, no, a Garibaldi's guy is not awarded any status. He doesn't have the right to learn Torah, and he's obligated to be Mechallel Shabbos. There's no such status that's awarded to him. But the Marshall says he's allowed to learn Torah, because we award him that status. If that's the case, so I think Rav Asher Weiss and Sefer and Shabbos also makes the point, based on this, that for sure then, even if the Malvel Otaval doesn't have the status of a Mikzas Ger, but he was certainly a Ger HaBolis guy, so according to Tosfos Yeshanim, and maybe the Maharsha, we award him a certain status, and he wouldn't be obligated to be Mechallel Shabbos, he'd be allowed to learn Torah. But that's the big machlok in the Maharsha and Rabbi Akiva Eger, how much are you allowed to teach the Ger before he's Jewish? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, where Rav Moshe says, the whole machlok between the Maharsha and Rabbi Akiva Eger, he thinks is before the Ger is actually, that's to see if he's interested in being Jewish. But if he's looking, maybe I'm interested in being Jewish. But Moshe claims, when he's ready, getting ready to be Megayer, Moshe says, how are you not going to tell him about Shabbos yet? How are you not going to tell him about the mitzvahs? He has to learn what's Nogea to him. So Moshe claims, when he's already in the throes of Geirus, to explain to him some of the halachos that he needs to know, these basic courses on Judaism that they have for these Geirim, once you're accepted into the Geirus curriculum, so Moshe claims, that wasn't the machlokas to Marshon and Rekhi Vega. The machlokas to Marshon and Rekhi Vega was a little further out. When it really becomes Lamaisa, of course you have to teach the Ger things that are Nogea Lamaisa to him. I think that's what most Batei Din do. They teach them everything. Even though the person's not Jewish yet. Big discussion over here in Siv Gimel and Siv Dalet of Siman Reish Samaches is the fact that you need a Beis Din for Geirus. That's based on the Pasuk that says Mishpat Yelachem, that it says Mishpat by Geirus, that you need a Beis Din for Geirus. How do we have Geirus Bisman Hazeh? We have no Smuchim. We don't have real Batei Din. Our Batei Din are based on Shlichu Sayu, the Gemara says. We're Shluchim of the previous Smuchim, of the Smuchim of old. We don't have real Batei Din. So how do we have Geirus anymore? So the Nesivus, the first Nesivus in Chosher Mishpat, quotes a machlokas between the Rashba and Tosfos about this. So the Rashba says that you don't need Smuchim for Geirus. You never needed Smuchim for Geirus. Smuchim is only needed if the Beis Din is issuing a psak. Here Beis Din is just witnessing what goes on. You don't need Smuchim for that. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos' opinion is, no, you do need Smuchim. But Shlichusayu is Midoraisa. Shlichusayu operates, and all Geirus is based on Shlichusayu. Because Geirus is based on Shlichusayu, according to Tosfos, so the Or Sameach has an interesting suggestion, which Rav Shechter likes to quote, that if the Beis Din does anything, Shaloi Kalocha, anything, any little thing, so then, that's a shliach shoshina mishichusal. You're only as good as your status as a shliach. we're not the real deal. We're smuchim. We need smuchim, and we're shluchim of the original smuchim. But if you're a shliach, shashinim ishlichus, the shlichus is batel. So Shechter claims if you, the Beis, he suggests, if the Beis Din veers in any way from any of the protocols that they're supposed to adhere to, even though it's only l'chadchila, perhaps their whole legitimacy goes by the wayside and the whole Din Torah is no good. It's an interesting suggestion. But either way, therefore the Beis Din that's there for Geirus, you need a Beis Din for Geirus, and the Dayanim have to be Kosher Dayanim. Even if you're not going to go to the extreme as you are Sameach from Shechter, that if you shino a little bit that the whole shlichus is batel, they can't be puzzled with Dayanus. If they're puzzled with Dayanus, so then the Geirus is batel. That's the main reason why reform and conservative conversion is no good, because presumably there are reform and conservative rabbis who are witnessing the conversion, and most of them are going to be puzzled with Dayanus. Besides which, that there's a questionable Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah, so we really expected that we might maybe. Kedesh Rabbi Ram, if people are ever firmer than their rabbis, it probably doesn't happen. So then there's really no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos to begin with to speak of. So that's the other reason why reform and conservative conversions are no good. Rav Sternbach has a psak, which is in the Chuvas Van Huggis, which has become more popular nowadays, which is that if you find a Dayan who does one Geirus, that's no good. So then that passels him. With Dayanus, he did a wrong. Not the Rav Shechter's little thing, he did a l'chadchila wrong. No. Not that he did a procedural thing off. But Imamish did something that's wrong. He made one wrong Geirus. So Rav Sternbach claims that then he becomes puzzled with Dayanus for Geirus, because he did a Geirus that was improper. And he's puzzled with Dayanus. And then every Geirus that he does subsequent to that is puzzled too. So that's what that's why the Geirus situation in Eretz Yisrael is all more complicated, not only because it's hard to know where to draw the line in the sand between what's the initial stage of Geirus, where Choshen Loch at this Baritz Kuso, until when is the person graduated beyond that, that's a complicated issue. But then, if you have someone disagrees with another Dayan about where the line is in the sand, well, they'll say, well, you're making puzzle of Geirus, and now all your Geirus is no good. Because if Sternbach said, if one person does a Geirus, it's no good, all of Geirus is no good, because he's puzzled with Dayanus. Then it kind of makes things much more complicated. Which parts of Geirus require a Beis Din? So we mentioned the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos that says a woman who thought she was Jewish turns out she wasn't Jewish. So the Gemara says she doesn't need to do another Tevila because Milo Tavilu Nidusa. Didn't she have a Tevila for Nidus? So Tosfos asked, but where was the Beis Din? If you know she was Tevila for Nidus, there was no Beis Din. So Tosfos said, all you need a Beis Din for B'dieved is the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. L'chadchila, you're supposed to have a Beis Din for all of the stages of Geirus. Tevila, Milo, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. But the Tosfos says it's only Miyakev B'dieved by the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. And that's the first opinion here in Shulchan Aruch, Siv Gimel. If there was no Beis Din for the Tevila and the Milo, the B'dieved, it is okay. Even though Tosfos said that, the Dagon Mervava claims that that psak is limited to a regular Geir. But a Geir Katan, who has no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, so claims the Dagmar Baba, there, the Tevila is the whole Geirus. There's nothing else. So then Beis Din would be miyakev by the Tevila. That's very relevant to Mu'uberish in his Geira, a pregnant woman who's converting, so her Tevila works for her child. But the child doesn't have a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. It's kind of like a Geir Katan. So Dagmar Baba claims that Beis Din must supervise that Geirus of the Mu'uberish in his Geira, because otherwise the Geirus for the Katan is no good. Because the whole Geirus for him consists of just the Tevila. So even for Tosfos, everyone would agree there that the Beis Din has to know about has to supervise the Muberish and his Geira B'dieved. That's why the most Batei Din will ask the woman if she's pregnant. Most women who come for Geirus, they ask her why is she pregnant. She thinks they're testing her. You know, are you really keeping to our regimen of religiosity that we set out for you? So then she might be tempted to lie if it's not true, because she doesn't want to tip them off. But the reason why they ask her if she's pregnant is because if she is pregnant, they need to know about the child so that they could supervise the Geirus to shame the child. If they don't know about the child, then the Beis Din is ineffective for supervising the Geirus of the child, and the Geirus of the child would be no good. So things get more complicated. That's only within the opinion of Tosfos, though. The opinion of the Rambam and the Rif is they have a different shot in that Gemara, Milo Tavlin Nidusa. The Rambam and the Rif understand the shot in the Gemara is, not like Tosfos, that the Kabbalah, you only need Beis Din B'dieved by the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. They understand that you need Beis Din, even B'dieved, for more than just the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. At least for the Tevila. What's the pshat in the Gemara? Migol tavlu nidusa. So they say the pshat in the Gemara is that presumably she had a good geirus in the past. If she's going for nidus, she probably had a real geirus. She thinks her geirus is no good, or at least the geirus we know about is no good, but she probably had a real geirus. Because if she's going for nidus, presumably there's a real geirus in the past. But then b'di'eved, you really need a beis in there, even for the tefila. So that's the second opinion that's quoted over here in the Shulchan Aruch, the opinion of the Rambam and the Rif, that even b'di'eved, you need geirus, you need a beis in there for tefila. The Shulchan Aruch quotes there from the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam that that's perhaps only to marry a Jewish woman or marry a Jewish man, but not in order to be Jewish. Maybe you don't need beis in there for the tefila b'di'eved. So the Gra points out, and the Rebbe Avadia has a tshuva about this also, they point out there's a Tosafot, the Rambam never said that. The Rif says that, that perhaps it's only to marry a Jewish man or a Jewish woman you need a beis in a b'di'eved for a tefillah. The only other person who says that is the Ramban. So they claim the Tosafot here, it should say Harif v'Haramban. But the Rambam's opinion is that no, you need a beis in b'di'eved for tefillah even just to be Jewish, not only just to marry a Jewish woman. And Rav Moshe and Rav Avadia claim we should paskin at least the Sfeika the Dina like the Rambam. So therefore we assume that Beis Din is Miyakev B'di'eved, Beis Din is Miyakev B'di'eved by the Tvila. The Pesachei Tshuva also quotes in Sifkot and Beis that if you did this, you had a Tvila, Geiris, without a Beis Din, you should do it again. So that's the way the Rav Moshe assumes and Rav Avadia that it's Miyakev B'di'eved, at least Mitam Sfeika the Dina, that the Geiris is no good. What about the Mila in front of Beis Din? So there's a steer in the Pesachei Tshuva over here. If the Mila... V'chadchila, of course, you need the Mila. But what about B'di'eved if you didn't have the Mila? So there's a steer over here in Pesachei Tshuva, whether or not the Mila is Miyakev B'di'eved. Shilchei Giborim claims even the Rif, who said that Tvila is Miyakev B'di'eved, but he never held that the Mila is Miyakev B'di'eved. And again, this might be related to the larger issue. What is Mila Gskeris all about? If it's a prerequisite, maybe Beis Din is not so Miyakev. But if it's part of Geirus, maybe you would have to have a Beis Din there. Rav Moshe writes with that whole story where we had a child who thought he was Jewish, and it turns out he wasn't Jewish. He had a Mila Hashem Yadus. Or even, let's say, they had a Reform conversion, but they had an Orthodox in oil. So the conversion's no good. You might not even have a Beis Din there, because everyone there is Pasul Adayonis. They're all Reformed Jews. So all Pasul Adayonis. You don't have a Beis Din there, but you have a Mile. So Milas Yadus you had. So Moshe claims there the Mila would be good for Milas Geirus too. The Yevid will be Mako for Milas Geirus without a Beis Din. Since you need a Beis Din by Geirus, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and Sif Dawid, that... Sif Dawid, that you can't have a Geirus Balayla, because there's Ein Yeshivas Beis in Balayla. Why is there no Yeshivas Beis in Balayla? Because Pasuk says B'yom Anchilo as Banav, so you have to have it by Yom. There's no Yeshivas Beis in Balayla. Since there's no Yeshivas Beis in Balayla, there's no Geirus Balayla. But what's interesting is, in Sif Gimel, the Grub points this out. In Sif Gimel, there's two opinions, whether or not you need a Beis in only for Kabbalah or Mitzvah, or a Beis in even for Tevila. And in Sif Dalet, he forgot about it. The Shulchan Aruch forgot about that. He doesn't quote two opinions whether or not Tevila is Ma'akev B'di'eved at night. Can you have a Tevila's Geirus at night? He assumes like that you can't. Which is interesting, because it's really based on the two opinions that Shulchan Aruch had in Sif Gimel. So, but we pass him B'di'eved, really, that you need, or at least Mitam Sveika Dedina, you need a Beis in there for the Tevila. What kind of how much does the Beis Din have to witness the Tefillah? What has to be done in front of them? So Tosfos, on that Gemara, again, of Milo Tavlu Nidus, the woman who thought she was Jewish, turns out she wasn't Jewish, so the Gemara says she doesn't need a Tefillah because she has a Tefillah's Nidus that she had in the past. So Tosfos says, yeah, but the Tefillah wasn't done in front of Beis Din. So Tosfos' first answer is what we said until now, that you only need a Beis Din for the Kabbalah Tal Mitzvah. Tosfos' other answer is that you don't need Beis Din to actually witness the Tefillah. Even if you need a Beis Din for Tefillah, all it means is they have to know about it. But they don't have to witness it. And Milo Tavlu Nidusa means, we all know she's a religious woman. So we all know she went to the mikvah, so we all witnessed the Tefillah, so to speak. Eidus Yediya is good enough. So do we paskin like that? Is that good enough? So the problem is, we don't. Rav Moshe writes that we don't pass it like that. Rav Avadia also, even B'di'eved. Because the Shulchan Aruch discusses over here, how do you do tefillah for a woman? How do you do tefillah for a woman in front of bezin? It's not snius. So the Gemara says that she goes into the water. Where is this? In Sif Beis. She goes into the water. Ad Savara. Then the bezin walks in. And while she's already in the water, Ad Savara. So Rabbi Tendler said that the process... It depends who you talk to, what the most but they didn't actually do. Rabbi Tendler claimed that they turn the lights off in the room and you can't see into the water. What I've heard is that they wear a loose sheet. That's what I heard from Mel Schefter, I think. That they wear a loose sheet around and the sheet covers the top of the water and that's she goes underneath the sheet and then the basin comes out and they slam the door. And they watch her go under. All they have to do is watch her go under. They don't have to watch her come up. And then they stand by the door, and there's a little light. She's under. There's a sheet around. They call her in. The mikvah lady calls the bezin in. They stand by the door. They watch her go under, and there's a sheet. And then they slam the door. She knows that they left, and then she comes up. So, but the Shulchan Aruch says she goes into the water ad savara, v'tovelas bifnehem. She's tovel in front of them. So Moshe says, you see from this language of the Shulchan Aruch that you have to be tovel in front of them. It's not good enough that they know about it. That was one opinion in Tosfos, but we don't pass it like that. We pass it that they actually have to be tovel in front of the Dayanim. I wanted to make one point about a Ger Katan and one other point, and then we'll finish. The Ger Katan, of course, we're allowed to accept the Ger Katan even though there's no Kabbalah Tal Mitzvah, because it's a Zechus Hulo, and Zachon LeYadam Shalom b'fanav. What's a zechus to be Jewish? Presumably he'll keep the mitzvot. That's a zechus. That's why there's an article, Mel Shechter wrote an article, in the RJJ Journal a million years ago about adoption in halacha. Well, actually, he quotes Rav Shechter. So there he says, Mel Shechter was a big dayan. He did a lot of gittin and a lot of geirus. So Mel Shechter writes there, he quotes from the Rav, and others have this, the Sri Yesh has this, and others, that if you have a non-religious couple wants to adopt a child, so then it's not a zechus to be Jewish. The zechus to be Jewish is because you'll be able to be Shomer Torah Mitzvah. If the couple is not religious and they want to adopt a child, even if they'll come to the most religious Beis Din in the world to do the conversion, the Beis Din can't do it because there's no zechus to be living in a house where they're not going to be Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs. Others are more mako on this. There's a tshuva, Reb Chaim Moser has a tshuva about this, not in that one tshuva. Later on in the Chelek Dalet, which is printed later, where he has a tshuva about this, where he seems to indicate there's a zechus to be Jewish independently. And I think Rabbi Tendler also quoted, Reb Moshe was mistopic about this. As he went back and forth about this. Is it a zechus to be Jewish or is it a zechus to keep Torah and Mitzvahs? But Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav, and the Sri Yesh has it also, Rav Kook, others have this also, that it's not a zechus to be Jewish, it's a zechus to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. So Rav Shechter there makes the point, or Mel Shechter makes the point, he might become religious later on, maybe NCSY will get him or something. So Rav Shechter says, no, that's not good enough. A zechus, he quotes from Nesivis also, that a zechus to say Zachon Le'adam Shalom B'fanav has to be at the time of the Zafin. If it's not there at the time of the zechus, then you can't say Zachon Le'adam Shalom B'fanav. Zachon Le'adam Shalom B'fanav is only if at the time it seems like a zechus. Not if later on it will seem like a zechus. However, the Pisrei Tshuva over here in Sifka in Ches quotes an interesting halacha that sometimes you have something as a zechus gomor. Generally speaking, when you have a Zachon Le'adam Shalom B'fanav, so the person, the child, when he gets older, becomes 13 years old, we're supposed to tell the child, it used to be in vogue not to tell the child he was adopted. So there's all problems with that, because in order for the child to be Jewish, the child, Gemara says, Maseches Ksubis, when you convert a Ger Katan, you're supposed to tell the child at some point that he's converted, and then he has the right to reject it or to accept it. So Moshe says, if you never tell the child that he's Jewish, now it's in vogue to tell the children, I think. But it used to be in vogue not to tell the child. So if you don't tell the child, so Moshe says, if you only tell him when he's 40 that he's converted, so then he could decide to give it up. He could decide, whenever the first time that you tell him that he's converted, then he has the right to be Moshe. So he has the right to be Moshe later also. So Rabbi Tendler, though, pointed out over here the Pesach Tshuva, Sifka in Ches quotes the Tshuva from the Chasam Sefer, that if the parents are converting along with the child who converts with the parents, that's a Zechus Gamor. And there, a Zechus Gamor, so the child can't be Mocha later on. So Rabbi Tendler suggested a solution, perhaps, for the Geirus dilemma in Eretz Yisrael might be to convert some of the recent immigrants to Eretz Yisrael together as a family, because whenever the children convert along with the with the parents, so then it's a chus gomer, and the child can't even reject it later on. You might not even need a kabbalah so mitzvos, and then everything will be all right. It's kind of an interesting suggestion based on that pesach tshuva. One other halacha is the Rama writes. Two other halachas. Rama writes over here at the end of Simei Reish Samech Chesed, Yisrael mumar that does tshuva needs a tefillah midrabanan. Why does he need a tefillah midrabanan? Yisrael shechata af api shechata Yisrael. You don't lose your kedushas Yisrael. So Shechter once explained that the pshat in that Rama is because there is a time. That's true. That tefillah is only midrabanan. To kind of emphasize his tshuva process. But there is a time that you might need a tefillah midaraisa, and that's Rabbi Tanna actually mentioned this also. That's the Chasam Sofer in his Hagos on Hilchas Tefillin. And there's others have this elsewhere, but the Chasam Sofer in Hilchas Tefillin writes that there could be a time that you could actually strip someone of their Kedushas Yisrael. Based on the Gemara Maseches Ksubis, the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis that by the Kusim, they made them into non-Jews. How do you make them into non-Jews? How do you strip someone of your Kedushas Israel? So the Chasam Sofer claims that if a person converts to another religion, then we as a group can get together and evict them from Klal Yisrael and strip them of their Kedushas Israel. The Sri Yesh has a tshuva about this also, because there's one opinion in the Ramah, in Hilchas Yibam Mechalitza, that if you have one of the brother whose a woman might require chalitza from, converts to another religion, there comes a point where you could actually say he no longer has Kedushas Yisrael and she could remarry without chalitza. So there comes a point in time when you could strip someone of your Kedushas Yisrael. What gives us the right as a group to come together and strip someone of Kedushas Yisrael? Where do we get this power from? Where did the Chasam Sofer get this idea? Where does the Gemara Nivamis get it from? That we can do that. So it could be that it's based on another concept, and that is, we said all of Geirus is based on an Amayimet Har Sinai. Mila, Tvila, Karban, Kabbalah, Sol Mitzvos. But there was no Kabbalah Har Sinai. There's two kashas. A Kabbalah Har Sinai, the Ribbono Shel Olam was there. The Shechina was there. Where's the Shechina in every Geirus nowadays? And then another kasha is, there's no Beis Din there. Where was the Beis Din by Geirus of Maimon Har Sinai? Everything's patterned after Maimon Har Sinai. Mila, Tvila, Karban, Kabbalah, Sol Mitzvos. Where was the Beis Din? So it could be one kasha kusha'asa mitares chaveret, and that is that the Beis Din of every Geirus is Omei b'makom de Shechina. The Beis Din stands on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam and accepts, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and accepts and bestows Kedushas Yisrael onto the potential Geir. If that's the pshat, so it could be then that Beis Din, since they giveth, they can take it away. So if they give Kedushas Yisrael, they're the Bialim on Kedushas Yisrael, maybe they could remove Kedushas Yisrael as well. That's what Shechter has once explained to Hamshah. That's why Rav Shechter, this is in the Ginas Egos, continues that perhaps that's why a Ger himself cannot serve on a Beis Din for Gerus. A Ger, you're going to learn the halachos over here in the Shulchan Aruch, when is a Ger allowed to serve on a Beis Din? Because it's a position of Sarara. Generally speaking, we don't allow positions of Sarara for Gerim. Because the Pasuk says, Som tasim alecha melech mikarev achecha. You should appoint a king from amongst your brethren. So the Gemara says, Kol meshimos ha-tameisim al-yehu el-mikarev achecha. That all the mesimos of Sarara, all positions of Sarara, are only allowed to be a person who is mikarev achecha, a person who is Abba ve'imo or mi-Yisrael. If the person is a ger, he's not allowed to occupy a position of Sarara within the Jewish community. This comes up. Can a ger be a rabbi? A big discussion. We had a smicha program. Smicha program's psak is, because Rabbi Charab told me they once asked the Rav this, what should the policy of the smicha program be? And the Rav held that being a Rav, a rabbi is avdus, not srara. He said, a rabbi, you're allowed to make a ger a Rav. Rabbi Blach told me that he thought also it's not, you can't force people to do anything. What can a Rav force people to do? They don't like him, they'll leave the shul. So a srara is only if you could force people to do things. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a Rav being a ger being a Rosh Hashiva. So Rav Moshe says a ger can be a Rosh Hashiva. His position is to teach Torah. Ah, he also kicks people out of the yeshiva. It's not his main role. He just teaches Torah. If you don't force people to do things, even though you're in a leadership position, then that's not srara. Srara means you could force people to do things. So Rabbi Blayach said, what can the rabbi force people to do? But the Rav Shechter and Rabbi Willig, I think, their opinion is that no, it is a position of sorrow. I guess how you, it depends how you run your rabbanus. It could be it's a position of sorrow. But anyway, I'm sorry that's unfair. But it could be. How can a ger, though, a ger is not allowed to occupy a position of tzara, but can he serve? He is allowed to be danes chavero a ger. He's allowed to judge other gerim. Oh, so can he serve on a bezin for gerus? So Rav Shechter there quotes in the Ginas Egos from a sefer Shalmei Shmuel or something. You can look it up. He quotes there. But the same thing is in Rav Yashiv's Ha'aris on Maseches Kiddushin, that he cannot serve as a bezin for gerus. Why not? Because he's not judging the ger. What's he doing? He's standing on behalf. He's representing Klal Yisrael in terms of bestowing Kedushas Yisrael. Also, that's the problem. The ger is not not judging the ger. He's representing Klal Yisrael. So to represent Klal Yisrael, maybe the ger is not kosher for him. Maybe that is a position of Sarara. So ger can't serve on a basin for gerus, even though, generally speaking, he's allowed to judge Chavera HaGer. Okay, Shkarech Rabbeinu, the Fina Mirza Hashem is this coming Thursday at 1:30.